All right, grab your Bible this morning and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11. And I want you to find verse 25. You know, that'll help. Every time I cough, I can get away from the microphone, so you won't have to hear that. But Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 25. If you're going to grow a plant, you need soil, you need sunshine, and you need what? You need water. I want to tell you that people are not different. If you're going to grow a person, if you want to see a person flourish, if you want to see a person bloom, if you want to see a person grow up, they also need the very key ingredient we call water. But if you're going to have people get watered, you need waterers. And so I've entitled this message this morning, Be a watering can. Be a watering can. Let's stand together. Proverbs chapter 11, if you're able, please stand. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. We're going to read just one verse. It says this. The Bible says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. Let's pray. God, as we open up your scriptures, make this book speak to us, to see the proverb of life when it comes to watering. The reciprocal nature of that, as so many things are in life. Lord, let us understand that we might be waterers and experience the blessing that comes back our way. So impress this upon our mind as we go from here. Lord, help us to consider this throughout our weeks, and you change us, move us forward, and just continually hold this at the front of our mind, to be waterers. Lord, I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, I'll read it just one more time. It says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. The point of that passage is not complicated. It's this: when you pour yourself out for others, you're going to find that you are poured back into. When you seek to bless others, you will find that you actually end up being the one blessed. When you water, if you want to be watered, if you want to grow yourself, you want to be enriched, if you want to be blessed, it says there is a key here that you must do some watering yourself. And so, if you don't want to be dry, if you don't want to be withered, if you don't want to be alone or unhelped when the time comes down the line, then the Bible is telling you right here, be a waterer. Water other people. Pour yourself out. Now, I want to ask a question. I got a statement. I got 4 points in here. They're not really all questions. They're not all statements. There's a blend in here. But I want to start with this. What does it mean to water? What does it mean to water? The one who waters will himself be water. If you want a healthy plant, you give it water. If you want a healthy person, you got to give it water. But what is being talked about when it speaks of water? It's not complicated. It's simply this. When you're going to water another individual, you bless them. You maybe give them a word of encouragement. You maybe help uplift them. You might help them get from a droopy state into an upright state. But you're pouring into somebody else. You're showing that you care about their countenance. You see that maybe they're having a bad day, and so you pour a little something in and lift them back up. You see that maybe they're behind, and you want to pull them back forward. And so you're watering. You're trying to bless them. You're trying to care for them. That's really what it comes down to. Give you a few different ways that this looks like in life. I'll just categorize them. I'm going to start with this. These are not all up on the screen. But what does watering look like practically in life? Let's just start with money. You can water somebody with money, with your finances. And look at the context of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. Go back to verse 24. And notice what it says in your Bible. It says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and he only suffers want. So you kind of see there's a financial thing going on there. There's giving, there's growing richer. And so you can bless somebody with finances. Go down to verse 26, and you see the same idea on the other end of it. And the Bible says, the people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. So it's talking about the price gouger here. That there is a famine, and one withholds the grain because he wants to drive that price up, and he's going to get top dollar for that. Or there's the other one who just hands it out and says, hey, there's a need. I'm going to bless you with this. Here's some grain. Here's some corn. Here's something to live on. And it says it's going to be well for that man. People are going to like him. But you see, there's some financial terminology going on here. There's goods being given. There's finances being given. Whatever it might be. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 8 through 13, Paul talks about how some Christians watered other Christians and how they're going to be greatly blessed because they gave them some money. These group of Christians over here saw the need over here. They raised up these funds. They sent it that way. And therefore, he says, it's going to be well with you. God is going to supply all of your needs. So you might water somebody with money. You might give to them. You might assist them with needs. And it might not be needs. You might just bless them. I know I've been on the receiving end of it. I don't know if you guys have all experienced this, but I hope you have. You probably have at some point in life, whether it's Christmas or just some point in life. Someone just hands you some money and says, here, might have been your parents. You didn't ask for it, but they give you some money. They water you. They bless you. Say, here, let me just take this. What's that for? I just want to give it to you. And they bless you. If you've ever been on the receiving end of that, you just know that is enriching. It's encouraging. Thank you. And it's not necessarily about the dollar figure. It's that you thought of me and you gave that to me. And so you can water in that way. You can water through your finances. You can water through your words. This might be one of the primary ways you think of watering. Proverbs chapter 12. It's not far away. Just look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. Just a chapter forward here. And it says a little something about our words. The book of Proverbs actually has all kinds of things to say about our words. But I'll just point you to this one. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says this. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And so you can take your words and you can stab somebody. You know, you've heard that, how's it go? The sticks and stones break my bones, but then your teachers say, that ain't true. You can cut somebody with your words. But there's the other end of it too. Your words can bring great healing upon somebody. The Bible talks about a word fitly spoken. A word fitly spoken, I forget how that proverb goes, but it's like apples, is it apples of gold and silver? Something like that. You can bless somebody with your words. You can really uplift somebody with your words. If you've ever been in a rough patch, just put you on the receiving end of this again. If you've ever been in a rough patch, a tough situation, and you've had somebody send just a simple message of, hey, I'm praying for you, I'm thinking of you, that's all it takes. And you can take a droopy plant and you can set it back upright. We had this plant in our kitchen. It was a flower and it was blooming. And that thing looked at it one morning and that thing was full on head hanging. You know, it looked like a candy cane. It was that sad. So a little bit, cat gave it some water. It wasn't but a little bit later. I don't know if it was 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it was, but it came back and that thing was straight upright. You know, sometimes that's all it takes for a person. You don't have to pour it on. You don't have to give them everything you got. You don't have to unload the floodgates. You just give them a little bit of water. And you can take a droopy plant with your words, just a simple phone call, a simple word of encouragement, just a simple, hey, I care about you right now. And you can set them upright. You can take a droopy plant and you can bring them a great amount of encouragement. I want you to think of this in terms of church people. I want you to think of this in terms of family. But I'll give you one where just kind of, you know, as a pastor, when you preach, I'm thinking on this the whole week. I was in town on Salina on, Wednesday? And went through some checkout lines at like Sam's and Harbor Freight and I forget wherever else I went. But, you know, you look at these people who are checking you out. And you kind of think, you know, they just go here all day, one person after another. And some of them are kind and they say, how's your day going? Some of them just do it. But I just got to think, you know, someone ought to ask them how their day is going. And I've always tried to, you know, sort of make that a point to them, to at least show them this. I care about you as a human. You're not just an object to help me get what I want. But you just give them that. Imagine being on that receiving end of the line. Someone comes through, they just show you they care. They realize you're a human. They realize that you are doing a job, but that you're a human. And I think it's just a little bit of water, you know, just a little bit something that you can dump on them. I've had before, it wasn't a high traffic area, so there's a little bit more time. But you get to talking with some of these people behind the counter. And I had a guy actually start to pour out his whole life to me. I'm going through a divorce, this and that and whatever. And you just see, can I give you a little bit of water right here? Just show that you care. You can do it through your words. You can do it through your finances, your words. Thirdly, you can do it through your deeds. The Bible exhorts us over and over, be rich in good works. Devote yourself to good works. Be a model in good works. The Bible says that. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for these sacrifices are pleasing to God. Sometimes words aren't necessary. But deeds, you know, actions speak louder than words. You can water with your deeds. You just show up. I have a little bit of time. I have a little bit of skill. Can't do much. What can I do for you? I don't need a paycheck. I'm not here to earn more money. I just want to bless you. If you've been on the receiving end of that, you just like, hey, thanks. And you know how that waters a person, so you can do it through your deeds. You can do it through your presence. Not like Christmas presents, your I'm here presence, you know what I mean? Job's three friends, you remember what Job went through? He's in a miserable state. And how's that saying go? They sat with him for 7 days, didn't say a word. And everyone always says of them, they did a really great job until they did what? They opened their mouth. And the rest of Job is just a disaster for him. But see, sometimes that's all it takes. You come, you sit with them. Someone's in a tough spot, you just sit with them. You spend a little time. It's not about what you say. You don't have to say words. Just you being there just means the world. And people remember that. It's water to them. And so watering is not always so complicated. Sometimes I think it's just showing up. I know I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. I'm just going to maybe keep beating the drum. But teenagers in church, they say, are far more likely to stick around after they graduate if there is 5 people who pour into their life. 5 church people, not their parents. 5 church people that pour into their life. Well, you go, I don't know how to do that. I'm just going to give you just this one. Just one simple way is just show up at their activities. I know you can't get to all of them. I know you got your own life. I know you got a lot going on. But if you can just show up to a child's activity, it is pouring into them. Think of baptism. Move on from the teenagers. Just move on to all church people. I think of baptisms. Typical baptisms, you know, half your church might show up there. I have the opinion that the whole church should be there. It's watering. You want to bless somebody, encourage them, support them, pour onto them, say, hey, we support what you're doing. You're making a testimony here. We're all behind you. Imagine that kind of testimony when a whole church shows up and you go, they don't even know me. Yeah, but they're here because you're part of this church. I don't know them. Yeah, but they're here because they want to water you. They care. They're part of this church. I think we should show up to each other's baptisms. I think we should show up to funerals. And I know our church does a lot of that and does a really good job about this, but you just consider it. It means the world to somebody when you take the time out of your schedule to show up to the funeral of somebody who lost a loved one. And it's watering them. It's an encouragement to them. It's uplifting them. And then you might just show up to their house now and then just to be a blessing. You know, somebody needs refreshing. I don't have to say a lot. You just stop by and say, hey, I care for you. You know, hey, I'm just thinking of you. Just wanted to give you a word of encouragement. Maybe here's a verse that's meant something to me. I don't know if it's helpful to you. But just something like that. You can help them just with your mere presence. And then fifthly, you might water somebody by helping them grow spiritually. This is the more obvious in nature. How do you water plants spiritually? I had these in here, by the way, before I was thinking of Becky doing the VBS plug. So there's a few VBS things I'm bring out, just come to mind through this. But how do you help someone to grow spiritually? How do you water by helping someone grow spiritually? Get this. Simple. Teach a Sunday school class. You're watering your hearers. Work and serve in VBS. You are watering those who show up. You don't even have to be the teacher necessarily, but it's all part of that watering process. Work with the kids on Wednesday night, you're watering. Leading a youth group, watering. Sharing the gospel with a coworker, watering. Doing a Bible study with others, that's watering. And so put out your time, put out your effort. It's watering. Listen to the words of Paul. He said this, "I will most gladly spend and be spent for the sake of your souls." I will most gladly spend and be spent. He says, I will most gladly pour myself out for the sake of the churches. And you watch that in his whole life. He planted churches. He watered churches. And so at the end of his life, he says, my life is being poured out like a drink offering. I poured it out the whole time I was here. And even in my death, I am pouring out my life. He was a waterer. Everywhere he went, Paul watered. Was it always pretty? It was not. Paul had some harsh words. He had to deal strongly with some of the Corinthians and the Galatians, and you read those books, and it's not always water they wanted, but he always was pouring himself out. And so Jesus did this too. I came to not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many, water other people. And I get you to consider something secondly here, and that is this, that all plants want watering. All plants want watering. You do, and I do. We all want watering. If a plant doesn't get water, what happens to it? It dies. And so I want you to consider a few different things about people, and this is where you got to look outside of yourself and consider a few things about other people. Number one, consider their needs. It is a reality that some people just need a few drops of water, some plants. You know, they just need a few drops of water here and there, and they're okay, they'll get by. In the plant world, we call them cactuses. But there's, you know, some people just don't need as much water. They're okay, they'll survive, they'll get by. But then you have other people that require much more water, much more often, or they will soon droop. Consider their needs, consider their position. Some people live in the shade. And it's just a reality of life that some don't have the stresses that other people carry with them. Some have a blessed marriage. They've walked in wisdom. It's come out well. Some are surrounded by good, godly people. They're just not pressed too hard. And so they just don't need as much water. But you look around in your church, look around at people that you know, and you realize that there are other people who take on a lot of heat. I mean, it is a day-by-day struggle. They struggle in their marriage. They struggle with their husband. They struggle with their wife. They struggle with a difficult child. They struggle with their boss. They struggle with their coworkers. They struggle with sickness. They struggle with weakness. Their lives are just not planted on the rich black dirt hills where fruit just flourishes. Rather, their lives are planted among the rocks. Whether it's because they made a bad decision before, or just the sovereign hand of God has put them in that spot for his own glory. But you got to realize there's some people that need more water. Because they're dealing with the heat, they're dealing with the stress. And then you might consider a person's age. Typically, who needs more watering? Is it an old tree with deep roots, or is that a sapling? Both need water. Who needs more attentive watering is what I should say. It's a sapling. You think of the young children. You know, a lot of times when you grow, you develop roots. You don't just grow up, you grow down. So you're able to find some water by yourself. But you think of like younger kids. They're not yet developing their roots. They're much more vulnerable to the heat. They're much more vulnerable to the wind. So you put your mind to them. I'm just saying this. You do well to water kids. You do well. They're looking for it, whether they're saying it or not. And you are doing well to water them. Though my point is this, just watch out for one another. If you see the first sign of withering in someone, see if you can't bring them some water. You see them missing from a service two or three times. You know, check in on them. I respect some of you who do that. And you reach out. I don't think I even know all of it that goes on, but I do catch wind of it from here and there. And I thank you for doing that. It leaves not just me being the shepherd. It leaves many shepherds within this congregation checking it. Hey, you haven't been here for two or three times. Anything we can help you with? You know, something like that. Watch out for one another. If you see coldness growing where there was zeal, check in on someone. Just water somebody. Help them be vibrant, healthy, and alive. Let me bring you to the third point here, which is another question. Who can water? Who can water? There's a man who might have a deep resource, a deep well. He's full of encouraging words. He's full of help. You go to this guy, and he's always got something good. You go to this lady, and he's always helpful. He's got a wealth. You have a man who's got money. Let's go in that realm. And he's able to give and to help. And so you stand back and go, I don't have that. He's smarter than I am. He's got more money than I have. And so everyone's got everything better than I have. So I'll just let them do the watering. I tell you this, first of all, if you are the rich man, let it overflow. Rich in wealth, rich in knowledge, rich in godliness, whatever it is, just let it overflow and bless others with it. But secondly, if you're the guy who says, look, I don't have much, I'm just going to let the big hitters do the hitting. I'll play my part on the bench. I'll clap you when you come back and all this. I want to bring you into the garden. What is the first job? You're raising kids. What is the first job that you give a child when they want to help? You give them this tiny little watering can. You fill the thing with water, and it's almost the best picture you'll ever find is the kids, you know, they want to be like mom and dad, so they grab their cans, and they just go start watering plants. They don't know if they need it or not, but they're dumping it out. You know the picture I'm talking about? I mean, it's just fun to watch little kids just go water plants. You probably don't give them the hose, but you give them the little buckets. The idea is this, that even a child can water. Even if you feel like your Bible knowledge, I'm just a new believer, I know this much. Everyone else in the church knows more of me, I only know this much. I'm going to tell you, take what you have. Take what you have. Take what you know. If you know three verses, go bless someone with those verses. And you go and pour it out on another. You don't have to be the big hitter to bless another. A child can water a plant, and so anybody can water another. The parable of the talents is one where you might consider the parable of the talents. Some might have one talent, some might have five, some might have ten. The point, remember when I preached that? The point is not how much you have. The point is what? It's what you do with what you have. If you have one talent, take your one talent and go bless another and make some kind of return on it. I think there's something here to say about church attendance. You can't, and this is where I'm going with this, you can't water plants if you live on an island. And so we have today people who, you'll hear the term home, we just do home church. There's no such thing as home church. We do YouTube church. There's no such thing as YouTube church. There's just not. Your church attendance matters. When God says, show up at the assembly of the people, I want you to listen to the words that surround this. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. When you look at that passage, what's he saying? Don't neglect showing up at the gathering of the people. Whether that's in a house, when I say home church, I'm not talking about a group of people at home. I'm talking about like you think you can just stay home and do church by yourself and maybe with your family. You can't. You can learn a lesson. You can watch a sermon. You can learn something. I'm not saying you can't do that. But it's just not what God has established. God has established the gathering of the people. And when he establishes this and he says, don't neglect it in Hebrews 10, what's he surrounded by? Because you need to go and stir up one another. You got to go and encourage one another. So there's some one anothering that goes on when you get together. And so he's saying, water. If you're at home and you're not with another group of believers, you can do some watering, but you know who the only person that's getting watering is? It's yourself. You're watering, just watering yourself. But God says, go. Don't forsake or neglect the assembling of yourself, because you can't water if you're not around the plants. The only watering plant that's going to get watered is going to be yourself. So just consider that when it comes to watering other people. I'll give you a fourth one on here. The results of watering. And this is really why should I water? You talk about watering. Okay, I get the idea. But what really is the drive behind this? And I want you to notice the end of verse 25 back in Proverbs chapter 11. And it reads this way, whoever brings a blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be what? Let me try that again. The one who waters will himself be watered. I know some Bibles say refreshed, he himself will be refreshed, but I hope you're getting my language here. He will be watered. Bless others, you'll be blessed. Pour it out, you'll be full. Seek another's benefit, you'll be benefited yourself. That's the idea. What's it look like in practical terms? When you water others, here's what you gain. Stature. You, number one, gain stature. You'll grow. You grow. You ever notice that when you teach a Sunday school class, you come to bless, but who is the one who is blessed? It is you. And so who is the one who does the most growing in the room? When you come to help others grow, who is actually the one who does the most growing in the room? It's you. You come to teach a VBS class. You come to teach all of these kids. They might learn a few things. You're watering. You're helping the saplings grow. Saplings. That's just a funny name for children. Come here, you little sapling. You come to help them grow, but in the end, who is the one who does the growing? You do the growing. They do too, but you do a lot of growing. It's true in every ministry the church does. You do a mission trip, you go to bless, you end up being the one blessed. You do some kind of service trip, you go to bless, you come and you come back being the one blessed. Some kind of teaching opportunity, some type of area of service, even if it's just, can I fill your cup for you? Can I carry your food? You want me to get you a plate? I mean, you go to bless, and in the end, when they say thank you, you're the one who is blessed. So you grow, you gain stature. Number two, the results of watering others, you gain prayers. You might not think like, oh, that's kind of an odd one, but the prayers of people matter. When I was a teenager in high school, and I know I shared this story, I'm going to give you a different angle of it. The youth group did a Wednesday night service. So we did everything from the preaching to the songs to the greeting. Just every part was taken over by the teenagers at that point. I was kind of new, didn't know a lot of people. But youth pastor said, would you lead the songs? Well, one, I'm not a musical guy. I mean, I enjoy music. I know some things about music, but it's like not my forte. That's just my best way to say it. I don't know how to do this number. I do now. It's not like this. But he asked me to do it and just said, yes. Yeah, I'll do it. Nervous as can be, and you walk away. Like, you all know the feeling. Like, why did I just say that? I wish I wouldn't have. But I said I'd do it, so I'm going to do it. So I stood up in front, and I did that song leading. Nervous as can be, messed up, embarrassed myself, and everyone's like, oh, you did such a good job. I'm going, I know, thank you, guys. No, I didn't. Stop being nice. But they try to encourage me in it. And the song leader took note of that. And you know how it is in church. It's the reality. I hope. You know, I can use people my own age, but I remember I asked Tyler to take over the song leading one time for his dad. He goes, well, if I do it this time, I'm going to have to do it every time. So, where's Tyler at? And here he is still today. Thank you, Tyler, for your service. Anyway, that rule, forget it. I don't want you to remember that, because I want you to say yes to stuff. But Anyway, so the song leader took note that I had said yes that time and I did it. He was going to be gone a different time, and so he asked, hey, will you do this again? And he was kind of excited about me. You know, some old guy looking at a young guy going, hey, this man can replace me. I think so. I didn't have that goal, but he just asked me to do it. Okay, yeah, sure, I'll do it for you. He gave me some tips on something to do, how to swing the hands and all that stuff. And I did it for him. I had no idea how much that meant to the guy. That was watering is what I guess I was doing and didn't really know it just by saying yes. I saw him later and another time or two after that in my college years and just after that time, and I'm talking 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years later. And the guy says, I pray for you every night. I thought that's something. Just that little bit of act of, I guess, watering him. And he said, I pray for you every night. Like, wow, you know, as an individual, I'm sitting thinking, going, like, who am I? But it gained his prayers. When you water people, they remember that. They appreciate that. And you stay at the front of their mind, and you gain the prayers through that. You gain prayers. You gain support. Elijah and the widow. Remember this story? There's a famine in the land. God says to Elijah, go to this widow and ask her for food. Elijah goes there, and he says, hey, he's not polite in the English language. I don't know how it all translates. But he says, hey, give me some food. She says, all I got is this little bit of flour and oil. I was going to make a cake out of it, and then my son and I were going to eat it, and then we're going to die. That's all we got. Elijah says, how about you feed me first, and you watch what God does. In faith, that widow takes the bread, makes the oil, makes the bread, makes the little cake, gives him some, and then has a little bit for herself and her son. And the Bible says that that cup or that jar of oil and flour never ran out. She watered. She was watered. She gave and God took care of her. You gain that support. There's a widow in 1 Timothy 5 that is described, and Paul is giving direction to the church saying, there's a widow for you to write paychecks to. A welfare check from the church is what it is. There is a widow that you should sign up like this. It gives these qualifications. If she has no family, she has no children, she has no grandchildren to take care of her. She's just totally on her own. Start there. And then it gives some qualifications in there. It says if she has a good reputation, if she has raised children, if she has washed the feet of the saints, if she has cared for the afflicted, and if she's devoted herself to every good work. In other words, what you read in there, the widow that a church is to take care of and write the checks to is the widow who has no family but has also watered her whole life. She raised the children, she watered them. She come to the church, she washed the feet of the saints, she watered them. And she just continually watered, 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 watered. Now she's in her old age. What should the church do?
Water her.
And so it is when you do watering within the church. Someone is hurting, you stand by their side. Someone is struggling, you stand by their side. When it comes to your turn, and you're struggling, who's going to be standing by your side?
All these people that you have watered.
He who waters will himself be watered.
Mom and dad terms.
You raise your children. I'm not talking about fed them out of the house. I'm talking like important spiritual things.
You sought to raise them in the ways of the Lord.
You just really put it as best as you can. You watered it so often.
You become an old man or an old woman. You can't do very much.
Your children, remember, these are principles, they're not promises.
So often these children come back around and say, look, they took care of me, I'm going to try and take care of them.
A farmer who helped out another.
He's watered.
You had a lot, we had a little. You gave them and their need. Your turn is going to come around. You about guarantee it. If you've watered nobody, who's going to be there? Nobody. You'd be left on your own. But if you helped out this man over here and his needs, you guarantee he's going to remember that, and he's going to be back at your back when you have a need. Water your wife. She will water you. Water your husband. You will be taken care of by him generally. That's how it works. They say the grass is greener on the other side. I said it before, the grass is greener where? It's where you water. Water, water, water. Bring it down to this. Someone might say, I have no friends. Here's your question. When was the last time you were friendly to someone else? Someone says, nobody does nice things for me. When was the last time you did something nice for somebody else? Nobody comes to my rescue. Nobody helps me out. Nobody waters me. All kinds of reasons for that. Sometimes you just got bad plants. But when was the last time you rescued somebody, you came to somebody's help, and you tried to water somebody else? He who waters will himself be watered. You take the initiative that's in that verse. He who waters, that means you start, you don't wait for them, will be watered. You gain stature, you gain prayers, you gain support, you gain encouragement. You gain encouragement. I think all of us have walked in to encourage someone else. And what have we found? You walk away and you're going, I think I'm more encouraged than them. And so sometimes, you know, you sit down with an older person and you just come to bless them. You come to just, you know, pour a little water on them. And you walk away and you hear of their stories of how they trusted God, how God came through, how God provided for them. And you walk away as the one who was encouraged and who was challenged and who was strengthened. I read of a pastor, smart man, long time ago. He had a guy who came to him who needed ministered to. He had another guy he knew needed ministered to. So he said, I'm going to kill two birds with one stone. So he takes guy number one to go visit guy number two. And you know what happens? They both walk away mutually encouraged. This guy says, because I went to bless him, now I'm encouraged. This guy over here, I'm blessed by them, now I'm encouraged. And the pastor's right in the middle of it as well. Kill two birds with one stone that way. If you're feeling a bit lonely, go show some attention to another. If you're feeling dry and barren, go pour some water on another. If you're feeling cold, go warm another. And so what you pour out will be poured back into you. I think I heard this one come through Rodney, but if you're depressed, go help another person. Heard that phrase? That's the idea. Don't get in a hurry. You remember in this passage, there's a time factor. You pour some water on a plant. Does the plant go, oh, thank you. I'm alive. What's it do? There's a time factor. And some plants take a little longer than other plants, but you water the plants, you will see them grow up. God has orchestrated, says Charles Spurgeon, God has orchestrated the whole universe to be dependent on others. Nothing exists independently. You see this in the water system. Where does the ocean get its water? The rivers. Where do the rivers get their water? The creeks. Where do the creeks get their water? The rains. Where does the rain get their water? Where does the clouds get their water? The ocean. And so you see the cycle of life here? God has built this universe to be dependent on one another. Take it into your body. Your heart depends on the veins. Your veins depend on your heart. Your heart depends on the blood. The blood depends on your heart. Your veins depend on your, I don't know what I've said so far, but your heart, and your heart depends on your veins. Something in there. But you see the cycle of life? You need your whole body in that illustration. Your hand needs your eyes need your hand. God has built this whole world to depend on one another. He's built humans that same way. We're not built to live on an island. We're built to need water, and therefore we must give water. How do you get the water? It says you give the water. Pour out, and you will be poured into. So the question I just leave you with this is this: am I a watering can? Am I a refresher of other people? Do I help other people become more vigorous, more healthy, more green, and more alive? When people leave me, are they more encouraged than when they walked up? When people leave me, do they feel more refreshed than when they walked up? I think, you know, there's different types of people. I went in a conference one time. This was actually helpful for me to understand. Not all plants are the same. I went to a conference, an old acquaintance, an old man I knew way back from the college years, and I said, hi. He goes, how's it going? I just had a struggle that was going on, and I explained it to him briefly. I didn't want to get too deep until I gave him a sentence or two, and he just looks at me and gave me something that actually stuck with me. You know, it's kind of one of them guys like, I'm not looking for advice from you right now, but I'll give you an answer and go from there. But he said something that stuck with me. He said, there are givers in this world, and there are what? There's takers. There's givers, and there are takers. And so not all people are going to respond the same way. But the point is, if you keep watering, eventually you're going to find some of those good plants, the givers, and they're going to water you right on back. Are you a watering can? Here's the reality. You don't have to water. You don't have to water. But the results of that is that you're going to end up barren yourself. When your day comes, you're going to be standing alone. You're not going to be a vibrant tree that it gets poured back into. You're going to be that dead tree that the vultures sit on. Because you've only thought of yourself. Nobody waters me. Nobody takes care of me. It's not where it starts. You don't have to water, but that's where you're going to wind up. God will not bless a person who only blesses himself. But if you want the favor of God in your life, water someone else. If you want the increase in every area of your life, find someone else and bless them. If you want to be refreshed by others, be a refresher. Don't live independent. Be a watering can. All right? That's the message. Let's stand and we will go to the Lord in a word of closing. Father, may we be a people who waters not just for goodness' sake, but for Christ's sake. And so that it flows from a love that has flowed into us. You have poured the water, so to speak, into us. And may it flow out from us. Just rivers of living water that have come first from Christ. And let us not just do for good for goodness sake, but let us do it in your name, for your sake, so that people see Christ in us. Be an encouragement, whether it's the people we meet in the checkout line, a complete stranger we have all of 15 seconds with, or whether it's someone we've known for years and we sit next to. Lord, let us always just look out for the needs of others. We have our circles. Lord, let us look out not only in our circles, but look outside of our circles, just at the different plants, the different needs, and just see what way we might be an encouragement. I know sometimes we don't know what to do. Just a simple gift, a simple word. I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. Just wanted to bless you here today. I don't know why. Just God put you on my heart. Just wanted to be a blessing for you. Just something simple like that. So let us consider these things, press this on our mind as we go from here, and let us be watering cans. I pray these things now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.